text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
Okie doke. Just a couple of questions that came in towards the end of our conversation with Martin. And some of you don't listen fully live. You know, there can be a delay on smart speakers, or if you're streaming and you pause and you pick it up. So we missed a couple of them, and I wanted to get answers for you on it. So we rang Martin back. I do not want to be embalmed. I take it you can opt out. Now, embalmment is optional. Now, I don't want to go into the ins and outs of it or anything that might be offensive to people. But there's the process of embalmment is there to preserve the remains of the deceased. So if you don't go down the direction of embalmment, you may have to close the coffin, etc. And you can work out the ins and outs of that, I'm sure. I certainly don't want to offend anyone on such a sensitive subject. A caller says, what happens to the coffin after cremation? I understand it's not burnt during the process. Well, the coffin is burnt during the cremation. A magnet is used to take away anything that's metallic, screws and bolts and what have you. But the coffin itself is destroyed in the cremation. So, now, I know that's a tough subject for some, not something everyone wants to be chatting about, but I suppose it comes to us all and it might help some of your planning out there. So that's why we did it. Greg, I've never heard so much nonsense about the upcoming election. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, Labour and all the rest are a waste of space. When are they ever seen only when election time comes? Simon Harris, Mary Lou, Micheál Martin, all around Donegal talking pure and utter poop. The people are not so easy fooled anymore. No one listens to a word any of them say. The bottom line here is they are tarred with the same brush. They're going to do this, do that, and all of them, or any of them, all they ever do is tramp on the people when they get elected. Does that mean you won't vote, or does that mean you're picking out someone else to elect, just out of interest? Good morning, Greg. Could you please let everyone know that they need to turn their lights on in the morning as the fog is bad? Going into Carndonagh Road and meeting cars with no lights on at all. Thank you. Indeed, it's a basic thing. It costs nothing and it could save a life. Listening to Bridie talking about Nacala Drive, it's a disgrace. Passing it at night, it's so dark, it's black, you can't see a thing. There is a little memorial at the top of Nacala where the lights are completely out for three boys from that street who died, and the families love to look out at that memorial at night and they can't see it. It's awful. Well, hopefully, that is very sad indeed, but hopefully now, having given that number, 1800 150 150, you can go onto the website as well, literally physically click those lamps. All of you in that area, do it, and let's see how effective that reporting system actually is and how long it takes people to come out and fix them. And if it's quickly, we're going to applaud that company and say fair play to you. Re the driving testers, Donegal Town is heading towards part-time as some weeks there are no tests conducted there. Like this week, some days in Letterkenny there might only be one tester working, some days two, but mostly three. So that's just in the context of four testers covering the entire county. I think they do nine tests a day. So if all four of them are working, 36 a day. Now, unfortunately, for 3 days last week, there were no tests at all. 27 people missed out. Buncrana has to be covered by those four. Three are based in Letterkenny, one in Donegal Town. They need support to do their work. It's a lot of pressure. And they need extra staff to help them get through that workload. Good morning, Greg. There should be no shortage of water in the Milford area because for at least 8 months of the year, millions of gallons of water from the waterfall in Bunlinn flow into the sea. A reservoir in that location would supply the whole area during the winter months, thus saving the lakes for summer. 30 years ago, a field beside the waterfall was for sale, and I suggested to a councillor that the field should be purchased with a reservoir in mind, but nothing happened. Great thinking. Good morning, Greg. All these election promises about taxes from politicians. Not one word about taxing the people making obscene profits from the people. Where did the profit tax ever go that they were going to put on electricity companies, etc.? That's 2 years ago now. They talked about it. Nothing was done. People need to wake up and vote independent. The main parties have been bought. They work for Europe and not us, the Irish people. I want to give you a mention of the Lunchtime Lives. It's a series of lives on our Facebook page, Highland Radio Hub, the Highland Hub page. And the sales crew head to various businesses on a Thursday. And today they are live from Irwin Electrical, Irwin Expert Electrical in Letterkenny. It's all about Christmas gifting. Whether you're planning ahead or looking for inspiration, that company have something for everyone on your lists. Some people love gadgets, some people love appliances, or little stocking stuffers or gift ideas. Irwin Expert Electrical has it all, I'm told. Plus, Their popular layaway club is now open, so you can secure those special gifts early and spread out the word. Right, so this is a sort of a unique presentation here. It's a conversation with the owners and staff at Irwin Experts Electrical. They walk around, look at the latest tellies, toasters, air fryers, whatever you're interested in. But what's unique here is that it's live, and you can actually interact with the live stream at times. So if you want to ask a question about the latest Ninja air fryer or something, you can actually ask it there and then, and a demonstration or an answer will be given. So as I say, that's 1 o'clock on our Highland Hub Facebook page, live from Irwin Expert Electrical in Letterkenny. Now, I have in my hand the 2025 calendar, which has been released, and all proceeds are in aid of Donegal Down Syndrome, and as has been in the past, it is full of wonderful pictures. Right, I have a number of people on the programme to discuss this. I'll go to Anne-Marie McHugh first, who's committee member of Down Syndrome Donegal. Good morning to you, Anne-Marie McHugh.
How are you, Greg?
Confused. Because everybody's called Anne-Marie. What is even Debbie's called Anne-Marie.
Lawson's an awesome name.
Like. I'm getting too old for this. It's a lovely name, but can we mix it up a bit? Anyway, all jokes aside, Anne-Marie McHugh, listen, it's a beautiful thing. Again, I suppose you can come up with an idea and you can hope it turns out to be a certain thing. But when you see how it has, you know, the results of all the efforts, it's a beautiful calendar.
Oh, God, yeah. Anne-Marie and Debbie put so much into this and it's just turned out amazing. You can see like how happy everybody is. Everyone had so much fun doing it. My wee girl, Saoirse, every time she sees her picture, all you hear is, oh, Saoirse, Daddy, park, please park. And she just doesn't want to see anybody else. She wants to see Saoirse and that's it.
So talk to me about the calendar and the stars of the calendar, Anne-Marie McHugh.
So this is really Debbie and Anne-Marie's baby. They came up with this last year and we want people to see representation of our kids, our people, you know, just happiness, joy, fun times. You know, as you can see in the calendar, there's some great wee models on there. You just can't help but smile whenever you see them.
And, well, they know how to work the lens anyway. I'll give them that. Some right posers, but there's some beautiful pics. And I've got to July and our own wee Noah Knowles, Lee's Noah. He's a great wee poser as well in a very positive way. Debbie, so the idea, you come up with the idea of this and I love it. And I think Anne-Marie's touched on it there, but tell us a little bit more about it. You're going to have to unmute, Debbie. Sorry, darling. Thank you. Right, I'll come back to you in a second, Debbie. You just have to unmute there. That's okay. It's fine. Everything is fine. It's going really smoothly. So that's Debbie's going to be joining us very shortly. I'll ask to unmute it, make it a little bit easier. Anne-Marie Gilluli, you're the photographer, right? Did you do all of the photographs?
I did most of them. Hi, Greg. Yeah, I did most of them. But one of the things that I remembered when I started doing them is how big Donegal is.
Yes.
So there was a lot of hours on the road and I actually live in Dublin. So I was kind of up and down when I was visiting over the summer. But Jay Doherty, who is a professional photographer based out in Muff and just one of the nicest people you could ever meet. He agreed to do a session in Inishowen to make it a bit easier for people out there to not have to kind of travel to West Donegal. So he did, he went to the woods out there and he took four of the photos, including the one with the basketball, which
I love that. It's not a cracking photo. Well, they're all brilliant in their own way, but there's just something particularly nice about that one. When you're photographing people, is it easy to capture sort of the spirit of them, their personalities? Because that's certainly in these series of pictures, I feel that I'm sort of getting to know the subject. Is that something that you go to lengths to achieve?
Do you know what? It was so easy with these models. They just have, like, I'm not a professional photographer. My husband is, and I've done a fair few family shoots and stuff with them. And people have, in general, such a self-consciousness about themselves, and particularly adults. And if you say to somebody, oh, that's great, they're a bit like, oh, But one thing that I found that really surprised me was just the level of confidence and outgoingness and that want to kind of project themselves and stuff as well. So actually, what we tried to do was go to places that felt really natural for people. So I know the studio photos that were in the See Me calendar, or See Me book before, were absolutely beautiful. And that's one style of photography. I don't have the technical lighting skills for one thing for that. But I thought it was lovely to be out, to be in the Donegal landscape as well. Like those photos down by Carrickfinn Beach are gorgeous. And we wanted... who was it that had the Special Olympics outfit on and people in their Donegal kits? And, you know, if you have a football and you love football, bring it along. And we did the horse riding photos down in Filcara with the Therapeutic Horse Riding Centre down there. And Moira, especially in Filcara, like the connection that she had with that horse was like magic. He just followed her around and it was so beautiful. And to actually show them as individuals who absolutely share the common trait of having Down syndrome, but far beyond that common trait, they are all these wonderful individual personalities. And I think that absolutely shines through. And every time we kept the sessions, like some sessions went on for a lot longer and some sessions people weren't as keen on and they ended, or, you know, that they kind of wanted it to be fairly quick. So actually loads of them only took 2 or 3 minutes. And but there was a certain look and a certain moment and I was like, right, we've got the calendar shot. And, you know, beyond that, anything else was a bonus.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Now, Amri Gilulu, who I'm just speaking to now, is Debbie's sister. And I can speak to Debbie Walker now, who's mum of Eddie, who is 4. And I think you're one of the key ideas behind the establishment of this calendar, Debbie. So you must be delighted too with what's been produced here.
I am. I'm delighted. I just want to say, first of all, that the calendar wouldn't have happened without Anne-Marie. She designed it and she got it all sent to the printers. So it was easy for us. We just, I drove her around one day. She flew down from Dublin to Carrickfinn and I picked her up at the airport. She did all the photos and everything. Eddie actually thinks Anne-Marie's his personal photographer himself. Every time she comes down, he gives her phone or a camera to take photos of him. And I suppose the reason we were talking with Gina Grant before when Eddie was born, and we just thought it would be a lovely idea for people to give them, to see them as people first and to give them a chance without seeing their disability and to see, I suppose, what they can do without seeing, you know, people pointing out what they can't. So it was just a lovely way, and for them all to get a chance to, like, they absolutely love looking at themselves. Eddie points out everybody, and even with the See Me book, he goes back over that and picks the people now from 2 years later off, and he still knows the same people. So it's just for them, and the fun of making the calendar and all the families, meeting all the families, and that was fabulous.
Yeah, because it's everything is positive about it, right? Because firstly, and we're going to tell people how they can buy it and how they can avail of it throughout the year. It's to support the Donegal Down Syndrome Association. It is to make sure everybody's seen. There's a little bit of information there about Down syndrome. And then there, you know, there's a commentary. Some words like love doesn't count chromosomes, little just bits of sort of inspirational food for thought, you know, mixed in with the pictures as well. So it's just hitting off on so many different things, Debbie.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, like when Eddie was born, people actually sympathised with me, where like he doesn't need anybody's sympathy. He needs people to look at him as a person. Mm. And give him the same chance as everybody else gets. It's not to see his disability and feel sorry for him, because that's not what we're about. And that's the biggest thing, to see the calendar, because these children and adults, they're all quite capable of doing everything that me and you is doing.
Yeah, well, I look at the pictures, and this is hand on my heart, God's honest truth. Well, I look at the pictures and the only emotion I feel is joy. I don't feel sadness or pity or any, you know, of negative emotions. I just see happy, really happy young and not so young people. There's a few people there of different age backgrounds, but that's what this calendar presents to you. And I suppose that's really, I suppose, the whole idea behind it is what we see, how we see people.
Well, I had that person actually rang me and they said I was having a really, really bad day and I was in and doing my shopping and I bought the calendar and they actually rang to tell me how the calendar, looking through the calendar, laughed at them that day. So, and it is because Eddie loves us every single day.
I think Anne-Marie of the Galoolies wanted to come in there, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say, of the Galoolies, I love that. I was going to say a lot of the talk about disability tends to be about the lack of services and concern about school places and adequate supports. And those are all such important conversations to have. But alongside all of that, these people add so much to our families and our communities and our world. And wouldn't it be such a boring world if we were all the same? And I just would love to see, it's absolutely about fundraising and thanks to the amazing sponsorship of the COPE, which went beyond any of our hopes when we approached them, and to Jay Doherty and to Brown's Printers, it absolutely is a fundraiser. But beyond that, I just think it's such a celebration of diversity, and it's such a celebration to have this calendar in your home, to open up conversations with your children, to talk to them about difference, to talk to them about inclusion, to talk to them about disability. I just think, and actually Mark in the COPE was the one who suggested a mandate to inform, to talk about person first language, a person with Down syndrome, not a Down syndrome person, and just those little nuggets. And I hope we've presented it with a really light touch and not kind of lecturing or shoving it down your throat, but kind of giving people, because none of us know necessarily the right things to say. And it's a great opportunity to kind of gently help people with the things that can be helpful.
Yeah, no, Amory, you make a couple of really good points in there, and you're quite right, because we all have our best interests and hearts in, and I know Donegal Down Syndrome or Down Syndrome Donegal, there is a document out there. It's a national document on priorities coming into an election, and that is important. But also, it is very important to, to see the people that we're talking about as well, and the positive contributions and what have you. Anne-Marie McHugh. So the calendar, where can people get their hands on it? It's out there now. It's a fantastic gift for us, another person, but a fantastic gift for oneself as well.
It is indeed. It's currently just in shops throughout Donegal. You can also order it online through Donegal Down Syndrome. It's in McElhinney's, it's in local butchers, it's in Super Value, it's in the COPE and Dunloe. It's just, we've put it out everywhere we can put it. Everybody can get their hands on this.
Excellent. All right. And maybe there's an outlet that doesn't have it and they can get onto Donegal Down Syndrome or Down Syndrome Donegal and get copies in, because there's going to be a huge demand on it, because it's lovely. It's actually really, really nice. And I can't remember which one of you, I think it was you actually, Debbie, pointed out to someone having a look at it and it changing their day. And I can actually genuinely, and I'm not just saying it, genuinely see how that could happen, because it's beautiful. It's really well put together and it's inspirational in some of its text and the images as well. Anything any of the three of you wish to add?
I just want to say thank you to the girls for doing this.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. The effort they had to put in to get this together is unreal. You have Anne-Marie coming all the way up from Dublin a couple of times. She flew up on her own. She done all this without anything. Just, this was her baby. She was going to do it. Her and Debbie got together. That's a lot of hard work and a lot of effort. So I want to say thank you to both the girls. It's absolutely amazing.
Yep, and we have a message
it's
in.
It's been such a genuine privilege. And actually, when we started this, it was a much smaller endeavour in my mind. And I thought if we get 250 printed, we'll be delighted. And then Mark and the COPE suggested 1,500 and now we're looking for a reprint.
Oh, wow.
So it's become much bigger, but actually meeting each and every one of the families, each and every one of the members of Donegal Down Syndrome really gladdened my heart. And I'm actually starting to look at maybe getting involved in Special Olympics or something where I am in Dublin, because it really was. We already knew what Eddie has brought to our family, but to see what joy all of the other people with Down Syndrome bring to their families as well, it was, and actually seeing what the parents, we have a WhatsApp group and people are meeting along the side of the road in roundabouts in Letterkenny, giving 20 calendars here and 20 calendars, and it's just been such positivity and joy. And every Christmas market and side of the road fair that's going to be on around the country, around the county over the next few weeks. There'll be somebody there. So
excellent. And yeah, I think we can all
thank
be.
Thank you for allowing me to as well. It was absolutely hard work, but it was
we can all be proud of Debbie too. Thank you very much.
Again, just thanks to Anne-Marie especially for doing this for Eddie and everybody else in the Donegal Down Syndrome. And the Cope and Dunlow and Brown's printers, and obviously Jay Doherty that Anne-Marie is constantly talking about. But he is just a fun man, and he really helped us out by doing that as well.
Brilliant. It looks great. It's available everywhere. I suspect it might be Gina, who's on the Donegal Down Syndrome Facebook account, reminding us that it's available online. So check out the website there as well. So there's no excuse not to get your copy. And proceeds going towards Donegal Down Syndrome Association. But there's something much more important. Sorry, not more important, equally important happening. And it's about seeing people for who they are, the amazing people that they are, their various personalities and what they contribute to their families, to their friends, to the schools and to society as a whole. And there's a great bit of work being done there. Debbie, listen, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you.
Really do appreciate it. Take care of yourself. We'll also say goodbye to Anne-Marie Galooly. Thank you very much, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. Take care. And also Anne-Marie McHugh, committee member of Down Syndrome Donegal. Lovely to have you on the show. Take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on.
Bye, Greg.
Bye-bye. Take care. And the calendar, which if you're watching, most of you aren't, but for those of that you are, there it is. It is absolutely beautiful and some amazing pictures. And that's the picture there that was referenced of Peter out in the forest with his basketball. But that's just one of dozens of amazing pictures. They all look equally fantastic. Building bridges, not walls, is a little message on that month. All right, get your copy. Support Down Syndrome Donegal and also the wonderful children in that and their families. Okay, back with more shortly. I'm joined on the programme by historian Dr. Joe Kelly. We're talking history. Good morning, Joe.
My Jean Wyha, good Greg. Good morning to yourself and all in Highland Radio.
It's great to have you with us. People love hearing from you, Joe, in this regard. And today we're going on a county-wide tour, no less, of Donegal through the eyes of letters written in the mid-1830s. And we'll get to look through the window of pre-famine Donegal. So this goes back to the Ordnance Survey of Ireland, and that's our source material, is it, Joe?
Yes. Well, what happened basically in England, they started to map England at a very fine detail, 6 inches to a mile. And the idea was to figure out what everybody owned so that they could tax them. And so they transported that system into Ireland. We were under the control of England at the time. And they decided that this would be the way that they would be able to tax people to pay for the workhouses. The workhouses weren't opened until 1843. And the British system was that local areas would pay for their own poverty, so to speak. And they would do that by taxing them. So each workhouse would be funded by the... So Glenty's electoral area would fund the Glenty's workhouse, the Milford electoral area would fund the Milford electoral area, Dunfanaghy be funded by the Dunfanaghy, Clonmany area. This was the system that the English adopted. And to do that, they needed to map everywhere. So they sent sappers and people over. It was very much a military organised effort by Thomas Crawley. He was the head man at Head Royal Engineers. And he, with a team of people, came to Ireland and start mapping Ireland. And this is the maps that we used up until digitalisation and satellites and so forth. So it was really, really advanced. And very interestingly, Slieve Sneachtain and his own, in order to get levels and heights, what they did was Thomas Drummond was a gentleman who figured out limelight. If you added lime into light, it made it brighter. You know, people get the expression standing in the limelight. They want the brightest light. And he discovered by adding lime to light, it made it a lot brighter. So they shone a limelight from Slieve and Snacht, and they were able to see this in Belfast. And this then was the way they were able to measure the angles, and they used Slieve Snacht then, whatever height above sea level, and then they went mapping Donegal subsequently with that. Wow. So it was very, very elaborate for its time. And the way they did it, the engineering was just phenomenal. So this man, John O'Donoghue, what we're talking about today, and it was...
John O'Donoghue or Donovan?
Oh, sorry, John O'Donovan. My apologies, John O'Donohue. John is an author, a great Irish author. Annamcara, that great series trilogy.
Don't try and get out of it with knowledge, Joe. You got his name wrong.
Sorry, it's just, maybe because I'm reading his book or something.
I'm only joking, Joe.
Okay, John O'Donovan, and he was born in Kilkenny, in a lovely place called Achity Moor, the place of the big house. And he seemed to start off his own wee hedge school. He was born in 1806, so by 1822 he was running his own hedge school. He decided that he would go to live with his brother in Dublin, and he was considering at the time priesthood, but he didn't go that way. And he ended up, while he was in Dublin, meeting with some famous scholars, who really put him on the road towards becoming a very educated man in the Irish language. And you've got to remember at that time there wouldn't have been too many people scholars of the Irish language. And one of the people that he happened to meet was this man who was later to become the secretary to the king's man in Ireland, the Lord Lieutenant. And his name was Thomas Larcombe. And he wanted to learn Irish. An English man wanted to learn Irish. And he was told this John O'Donovan would be an excellent man for to do that. And then later on in his life, some years later, they were looking for someone. It was a brilliant idea that not only were they going to map all the places of Ireland, but they needed to send somebody out that would add in the place names. And so people often think that the English were very much anti-Irish or Irish language. This was an amazing idea. Mm. And the brainchild of both Thomas Colley that did the maps, the engineers, and also Larcombe, to get someone to go around the whole of Ireland. And so they employed John O'Donovan.
So his exclusive job was it to go into the various areas and to ascertain the names, the spelling of the names. That was his... and also to, right, because this is probably going to get into this area, was it to sort of take a name and it being in Irish, or was part of his job to anglicise it, to make it into English? A lot of the stuff we've talked about and the defacing of signs and all that type of stuff, we can trace it back literally to an individual who would have been responsible for the anglicising of some of these names.
Absolutely.
Wow, what a remarkable window into history.
History. And so what he did is he travelled around Ireland, taking maybe names that were said in English and putting on the maps, but then explaining what they meant. So he worked with the Ordnance Survey from about 1831, around that time, to 1842. So for almost, 11 years, working, travelling the whole of Ireland, mapping. I think it was roughly about 63,000 place names that he logged, as well as about 144,000 just other general names.
And what do you think the criteria was in terms of, maybe not drilling down to townlands, or perhaps he did? I wonder what sort of the... how detailed, like, say, for instance, in my house, Germanus Glebe is there, Mullen of Sole is there. I wonder, would he have got down as deep as to those town lands, or would it more be Lahey, Mount Charles, Donegal Town, Ballybofey, Stranall, or so on and so forth?
Well, it varies. Like, he left 137 volumes of letters, and the only counties that he didn't do were Cork, Antrim, and Tyrone. So he came into Donegal, Derry, all the other counties. And as he moved around, he obviously did the general place names and the main place names, but if he was in an area, he also focused in on other names as well and made general comments about it. But it wasn't even just that. You see, you've got to remember at that time, it was pre-famine, as you pointed out, and it was a window into pre-famine Ireland. And it was, an understanding of an Ireland that was going to change utterly by 1847, within 15, 16 years. But what he did was, he also, when he was going around, noted historical people, events,
really?
Places,
wow.
Manuscripts. And the English were very much, particularly back, Petrie, who he'd write letters every 3 days. So he was kind of 3 days behind, and he would write letters as he moved around, explaining what he did in the previous 3 days. And he would maybe spend 18 hours a day writing when he would stop after 3 days and write down who he'd met and what he'd learned.
Was this driven by himself, or do you think a requirement of what he was doing?
Oh, look, he was getting paid very, very pittance for what he was doing. And he talked about how he moved around into in Dunfanaghy. He was complaining about the damp beds and how bad the weather was and things like that. So he obviously physically endured a lot, and he did get sick a few times from colds probably and flus. But it certainly wasn't for the money. And later on, he became a professor in Queen's. And he also, between, I think it was 1848 and 51, he put out various volumes of the Annals of the Four Masters. They were the first production of them, an Irish version of those, modern Irish, at that time. Mm-hmm. So, look, he became a great, great scholar subsequently. But I think that he was just a man that understood the soul of Ireland and understood the language, and was in the right place at the right time, and love on a graph for it.
So, and the best thing, because you're across this, is for you to start picking out notes of interest for us here in Donegal. But just in relation to this body of work, is it preserved? You know what I mean? Is there an archive of his letters, the Fields notes that you reference? I mean, are those physically stored somewhere in his handwriting? Are they accessible? Oh,
yes, they are. Some of them are digitally online if you go looking for them. There was a wonderful book printed in 2000. That's where I became familiar with them. The Ordnance Survey Letters of Donegal are done for every county. People would have published them. And it's the Four Master Press by Michael Herity. So there's a beautiful, beautiful publication done for Donegal. But they are online, and they're in the Royal Irish Academy as well. That's where the original letters are.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly, of the same name as myself, a librarian with the Donegal County Council. Actually, I had been chatting to him over the weekend. We were just chatting about the letters, and he'd said that he'd actually gone to see them, and he sent me some screenshots of his own family. People are mentioned in it.
Oh, wow. Okay, listen, I don't want to run out of time on this, okay? So we're talking about, this is from the 1830s, John O'Donovan, as part of the creation of an Ordnance Survey map. He was charged with going throughout the country and writing down place names, townlands, and all that type of stuff. So we do know what he said about certain areas. So he was in Inishowen. We'll go down this way, if you like, because I find this fascinating. So what did he say about his journey through the peninsula or parts of the peninsula, Joe?
Right, well, there's a massive amount of historical information in his letters. I found his observations and his comments very, very interesting. So I hope I don't offend anybody as we transverse.
These are the words of John O'Donovan, not of Joe Kelly.
He talked about going to Carindona. So he started off in Donegal at the beginning of August 1835, and he ended up in November, started off in Carindona, Moville, Carindona, and then moved through Donegal westward and ended up leaving Donegal, Ballyshannon, in about November 1835. So that's his journey that summer through Donegal.
And come on, Joe, get to it.
He goes to... now, please, I have to be very
Joe,
careful.
Please, this is the words of 1830s John O'Donovan. Go on.
And he goes to Carindona. He says, it is curious to observe that all the Aboriginal inhabitants of Doa Parish are McColgans, who are numerous in the surrounding parishes as well. So he was calling them Aboriginals up there. And he talked about being in Buncrana. And he said, Clonmany is the most Irish parish I have ever visited. The men only who go to markets and fairs speak a little English. The women and children speak Irish only. And he talked about, I've never heard Irish better spoken nor experienced more natural civility and innocence than the very secluded and wild parish. So he's talking...
That's good. That's positive. Yes. Then he moves westwards to the Fannin Peninsula through Rathmullen into Carrigart. Come on.
Yeah. And he talks about why Rathmullen's just divided by a narrow peninsula of only an arm of a sea about 3 miles in breadth, yet the natives of Fannin look upon themselves as different people. They speak of the Inishonians as debased and demoralized people. Such is human nature. And yet the men of Inishowen are of the two the most estimable. So there you go. I shared that with Nicholas Crossan, and he says we'll have a pint on that one. So the Fannin ones were looking down on the Inishonians.
Right, what did he say about Carrigart? Have you got that in front of you?
He said he talked about Carrigart and how he stayed in a comfortless lodging in the house of a Mr. McFadden. I think that's Father McFadden of the Great Land War. I think that might have been his father or that family. But he talked about the Fannin people, and he was saying that they were where did I get this? The Chiefs, they were brands, what is it? Fiery brands, glowing and unextinguishable, support of the valour of the Gaels, champions, mighty of two force, their way through the gap of danger, and illustrious for their extravagance in distributing jewels and wealth. So the Fannet people were very, very generous.
Okay. You mentioned Dunfanaghy, his wet, damp lodgings. I think that was how you described them. Unless there's anything of note, he then went towards the Falkara Gortahawk area.
Yeah. Well, as he was in Dunfanaghy, as I said, he was about 3 days behind. And he talked, it's a very sad story, he talked about the McSweeney Nadua. And he had met MacSivnia, the descendant of Doe Castle. And as he looked across the sand, he could see this man walking very tall and stately with three women and some children, accompanied by a hampered ass and greyhounds and dogs. And he says, "Who is this man?" And he found out that he was the real MacSivnia. And so he went to his house subsequently, and he arrived to the house and the father wasn't there. And he went in and he saw two fine sons playing the bagpipes and the fiddle. And that's the family of Thurla MacSivnia, the famous piper that was in Gedore in subsequent years.
Wow.
And who claimed that his family were the people of Doe Castle. So he talks about that, and he goes in and he salutes him as the MacSwinney of Doe, and the Lord of Torry. And taking my hand, he returned the salutation as became the, and he became the representative of his race. So it was a passing time of the old Gaelic order. He went to Dunfanaghy then, and he stayed in the hotel there. And he says, "I am sick to death's door of the names of the coast, because I get one version from one person, then it's corrected, and somebody of equal intelligence has given me another version." He wanted to go to Torry, but he didn't get there. And then he went up into Garden. And I'm glad to say, when he left Clonmany, this is what he spoke of going towards Garden. "En route was through the wildest track of country I ever saw. We could not meet a single intelligent man. In fact, no man, no house." So I don't know if that is as fair to say.
He must have went a different route. So if you could just talk to us a little bit about Dunlow and Glenties, because we're right up against 11.
Okay. Well, he just says on Dunlow, "We visited on the 12th of October, 1835, and he talks about it being wild and so thinly inhabited as the region through which we have wandered since I last wrote. It is sublimely barren, and at night, poetically gloomy and horrible. But he says, O boyless, sweet country of the boils, wert thou ever civilized? The mountains not know." So that might explain why I'm over here in the Rosses trying to educate them, you know, and their mountains not know.
Jimmy, if you work, cut out. Glenties and then into Ballyshannon, I suppose.
Before I leave Dunlow, he stays in this place called the Head Inn, and he says, "I am weary to death's door of the noise and interruptions of drunken fishermen at the Head's Inn in Dunlow." So he was getting annoyed.
This is the 1830s, folks. This is a gentleman that stayed in Dunlow in the 1830s. So can you imagine your ancestors all loaded after coming in off the fishing boats in there, all rowdy, drinking their beer? What an amazing picture he paints there. Sounds like fun.
He heads then to Glenties. Now, this comes with a big caveat. "The ancient families here can be distinguished by their forms and features." Now, here we go. "The O'Donnells are corpulent and heavy, with manly faces and aquiline noses. The O'Boyles are ruddy and stout, pictures of health when well fed. The McDevitts are tall and slender, with ray visages. The O'Dohertys are stout and chief-like, stiff, unbending, stubborn, most degenerate in their peasant state, but all have good faces. And then finally, the McSweeney, spirited and tall, of pale and ray colour. Among them all, the O'Boyles and Doherty are by far the finest human animals." So up to the O'Boyles and up to the O'Dohertys.
There you go. And Ballyshannon, Ireland's oldest town?
Yes. He went through Ballyshannon and he met Edward Quinn there, who gave him a terrible lot of information and all the place names there. And then he exited the county. So for anybody who wants to see these letters in respect of their own areas, they're online if you go Googling for them, and you'll find them. And maybe just to end with you, I'm sure you're very well aware, and your listeners, of Brian Friel's play written about translations. And translations basically about the place names. And I imagine he got the idea from John Donovan, the letters. And it starts in this little town in Donegal called Ballybug, the little town. And they're translating the place names. So Brian Friel's drama, in a way, is drawn out of the history of these letters. And again, it's just a wonderful thing to have, and it gives a great insight into the Ireland that was.
All right, Joe, you've done it again. And there's more in that we could have dug into. I will actually get back to you on it. Joe Kelly, Dr. Joe Kelly, thank you so very much indeed for that.